Today on Real Life Radio.
Give me a brand new believer because I love their zeal and their faith. It's huge. And give me a good old seasoned saint. I don't mean old in age. I mean old. They've been through the ringer with God.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J. thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Looking for real answers in real time? JackHibbs.com is your go-to destination for resources on faith, world events, and everything in between. Explore Happening Now, where Pastor Jack Hibbs takes a timely, no-nonsense look at today's biggest issues, blending biblical insight with the latest headlines. Now, whether you're curious about the world around you or you want guidance on a personal level, Pastor Jack has you covered. And by the way, don't miss the Real Life Network. It's packed with relatable, family-friendly content that really speaks to everyday challenges and triumphs, offering something really valuable for every member of your family. Now, if you're new to the faith, you want to refresh your perspective, start with that tab that says Know God, an accessible, welcoming space to learn and reflect and find your footing. Now, whatever your path, JackHibbs.com has the tools and the insights and the encouragement that you need. Tune in, log on, find something real. Once again, the website, JackHibbs.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series called 1 Samuel with his message titled, How to Handle the Fool, Part 2. Samuel of the Old Testament was the last judge of Israel and the first of her prophets. So here as we continue in chapter 25, we'll consider how David, a man after God's own heart, was not immune to some foolish mistakes. You see, a man named Nabal, whose name literally means fool, is introduced here as a wealthy man. But he was rude and he was arrogant and he mocked David by questioning his identity. This put David in such a furious state that he gathers his men to take revenge, and it's Abigail, Nabal's wife, who wisely intervenes. So today, Pastor Jack teaches us that riches and influence are not a substitute for a heart aligned with God. Nabal was void of wisdom, and his foolishness was rooted in self, pride, and bitterness. But true wisdom brings blessings, and it will be rewarded. Now, in his message called How to Handle the Fool, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Acts 13:22 says, So the Lord raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. Isn't that fantastic? Now, I got news for you. When was the book of Acts written? Before 1 Samuel or after 1 Samuel? After 1 Samuel. What happened in 1 Samuel 25? What happened after, between Acts and Samuel? David murders Uriah so he can have his wife, what's her name? Bathsheba. He fornicates with her, commits adultery, and the book of Acts says this about him? Does God excuse that? No. Did David repent of it? Yes. But did he bear the scars and the reaping of it? Oh, yeah. But isn't it interesting that David's life is also found in Hebrews chapter 11, in the great chapter of the faithful and of the righteous? In that great chapter, God points out no wrong and no evil of all those people, yet every one of them were sinners. In Hebrews chapter 11, Abraham is praised. Abraham made a lot of mistakes, people, but God doesn't bring it up. In that chapter, David's praised. David made a lot of mistakes. In that chapter, and it goes on and on with these people, Gideon, and so on. Yet God doesn't bring up any of the negative. To all of us who are Christians tonight, that's the truth of the story that God would write. But God might, no, he only remembers that which gives him glory and that which is righteous. Yeah, but what about my, he doesn't, did you repent of it? Yes, he removes that. We talked about that on Sunday. It's gone. Hebrews chapter 11, a chapter on faith. There is no Hebrews chapter 12 on a chapter of failure. Isn't it amazing? I'm very grateful that in that, God's very selective. Note here, if you would, as we've read, the intercession of Abigail. She reminds me of Stephen in the Bible. The intercession of Abigail reminds me of Jesus in the New Testament. The intercession of Abigail reminds me of Moses in the Old Testament. I start to see a picture of the believer. They have the attributes and character qualities of Jesus Christ, of the Lord Himself, in forgiving people and interceding for people instead of judging people. But you know what? Abigail, I don't know her age. It's not revealed in Scripture. But you know what? She's a woman wise beyond her years. She either had, no doubt, a great upbringing in the faith, or she had a lot of hard knocks, maybe both. Give me a brand new believer because I love their zeal and their faith. It's huge. And give me a good old seasoned saint. I don't mean old in age. I mean old. They've been through the ringer with God. One person, the new believer, will charge your batteries and give you almost like, you know, when your old dog at home's getting old, what do? You go buy a puppy. And your old dog will jump and run like you've never, that dog hasn't run like that in 5 years, but you buy a puppy and that old dog wakes up, something clicks. Put me around a new believer and you get clicked. It's awesome. They read the Bible. Hey, it says right here in verse 8. Come on, let's go do it. All right, let's go. That's a new believer for you. People who have no experience with God, but they've lived a, quote, Christian for a long time, they tell you why you can't do that verse. Oh, you can't do that verse. Well, how come? Because I've never done it. Can't be done. Anybody read that book, Who Moved My Cheese? Get the book. You can't do that. Why? Hasn't been done. So let's do it. You can't do it. It has not been done, I'm telling you. So let's do it. You can't do it. Why? It has not been done. New believers don't know anything about that. And then an old seasoned saint that's been beat up and gone through the ringer and the Lord's been with them the whole time and they've seen God do great things, they just say, well, you know what? Look, the new believer wants to go do it. I've seen God do anything and everything. Let's go. The seasoned saint says, you know what? I've seen God do things I never dreamed of. And let's go, because if God's going to do something, this is what the old seasoned saint says, if God's going to do something, I'd rather be dead than miss it. And so the old guy in the faith gets up and goes with the new believer, and they both turn the world upside down, or right side up. Try it. It's the only way to live. Luke 23, 34 says, Jesus spoke unto them and says, spoke unto him and said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Abigail intercedes like Jesus does. It's pretty amazing. Acts 7, 59, and they stoned Stephen, and as he was calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then Stephen knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, and he said, Lord, fry these unbelievers for their con... No, he says, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He died. James 5:20. Let him know, that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sin. Listen to Abigail's life. It's so New Testament. 1 Peter 4:8. And above all things, have fervent love one for another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. The character qualities of Abigail are so Christ-like. Verse 23, she acted with urgency when needed. Verse 24, she acted in humility. Verse 25, she acted in mercy. Verse 26, she acted in counsel. Verse 27, she acted with gratitude. Verse 28, she acted with respect. Verse 29, she acted with vision. Verse 30, she acted in faith. Verse 31, she acted in grace. She acted the way that Nabal should have acted when David came out, and he didn't. Why? She had a character that was developed because of her faith. Her faith was lived out. Well, you know what? Same was true about Nabal. Nabal had a character, and he lived it out too. His character was wood, hay, and stubble at best. One old-time author said, we need to find an Abigail and marry her like David did. Marry yourself to her character quality. Marry yourself to Christ, he said. Draw near, fellowship, be with people who provoke this kind of action in our lives. Point number six, how to handle a fool. We learn this, verses 32 to 38, that God is in control, even over the fool. Look to God to intervene. Look to him to intervene. It says in verse 32, then David said to Abigail, this is a tremendous turn of events, blessed is the Lord God of Israel who sent you this day to meet me. God's intervention. God intervenes. Now watch, pause right there. Church, listen, God intervenes every day in our lives. He does it every day. We just don't notice it every day. We don't recognize it every day, but he does it every day. David is like this. He's on his horse. He is stark raving crazy to go and kill a Nabal. He's flying down the path. He's got his men with him. He's got his sword drawn or his sling getting ready to go. And he is going to kill. God intervenes. He could have knocked David off of his horse. He didn't. God could have spooked the horse. He didn't. Could have sent an angel. He didn't. He sends Abigail to teach us about her character quality, and also that when a woman or a man acts like Abigail does, it can change the course of history. And history's been changed by very apparent, minuscule things, things that really don't seem to matter. Here comes this woman. She's got her offerings. She's got her message to tell David. She's married to a fool. Stop, ladies, right there, think. She could have thought, you know what, David is a warrior. He has really been out of shape. Finally, he's going to kill my husband. Get rid of that bonehead so I can live my life. Now, I know no woman in this church would think like that, but she could have thought like that. That's one way to get, you could have a message, you know, how to get rid of a fool. How to get rid of a fool? Don't intercede for him. But you're not doing the heart of God. You say, well, Pastor, you don't know who I live with. God does. It's tough, huh? There's heartbreaking situations. And I only wish that Abigail could have written a book, you know? Can you imagine what she could have said about the fool she lived with? For whatever reason, God saw fit not to have her put that into print. God's in control. Do you believe him? God will intervene. Do we see him? So she comes. David is touched. Blessed be God. God's intervention. Not only that, look at this. Verses 33 to 35. Know that God's in control. Look for him to give counsel. Are you upset with somebody? Justifiably. You are justifiably upset. A fool has come against you. Look to God to give you counsel. Don't act in the emotion. If you act in the emotion, you're going to enter into their sin. We're going to become just like them. Verse 33, and blessed is your advice, and blessed are you, because you have kept me this day from coming to the bloodshed and from avenging myself with my own hand. Do you hear that, people? God can defend David. It's best that way. David remembers, it's best that I do not defend myself. I'll let God do it.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. To learn more about this ministry or to catch up on some previous episodes, go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And now, let's get back to today's message. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Verse 34, for indeed, as the Lord God of Israel lives, who has kept me back from hurting you, unless you had hastened to come out to meet me, surely by morning light, no males would have been left to Nabal. So David received from her hand what she had brought him, and he said to her, go up in peace to your house. Behold, I have heeded your voice and respected your person. David's coming back to himself, the self that we love about him. God will bring counsel if we'll just wait. I don't need to elaborate on this, church. The Bible says, be still and know that I am God. David was not being still, and so he did not receive or understand what God was desiring. He wasn't in the mood to hear it. God intervenes with Abigail, brings another believer into the path. Counsel is given. It's godly and biblical and Christ-like. David receives it and is changed. Who is spared? Honestly, think, who's spared? That's right. David is spared. You want to know why? Nabal, he has sown his seeds and he'll be reaping soon. That's going to happen. Nabal has nothing to do with God. Who was spared? David was spared. Look at verse 36 to 38. Look for God for vengeance. Now I have to be, look for God for vengeance. That doesn't mean God, get him. Oh God, you know, I'm not going to be happy, God, until you just fry him. That's not what I'm talking about. But you can leave it, I should say. Look for God for vengeance. Leave it in his hands. Leave it up to God. Verse 36, now Abigail went to Nabal, and there he was. Kind of makes it sound like he's like sitting at the bar. There he was, holding a feast in his house. Can you see this? He's got a big drumstick. He's got meat and gravy all over his face. He's a big, loud mouth, rich, arrogant, disgusting man. That's who he is. He's holding a feast in his house like the feast of a king, and Nabal's heart was merry within him. He was drunk, for he was very drunk. Therefore, she told him nothing, little or much, until morning light. So it was in the morning, when the wine had gone from Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him. He had a heart attack or a stroke, and he became like a stone. Then it came about after 10 days that the Lord struck Nabal and he died. Wow. You know, the Bible says that the fool looks around at all of his wealth and he says, I have so much, my barns are full. I've got so much money. My barns are full of grain. I don't need anything. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down my barns and build bigger barns so I can have more. Hoarding it up. And Jesus says in that scripture, what a fool. He did not realize nor consider that night his soul I would require of him. And the Bible says that God took Nabal's life. He had everything. His heart was merry, he's got all of his friends, he's got everything the world can offer, but he's void of God. How sad, how tragic, how fitting that this night, his soul, he would have to give an answer for it. Final point tonight, verses 39 to 44, know that God rewards obedience. As much as God delivers vengeance upon the fool, God rewards the righteous or the faithful with obedience when they act in following him. That foolishness pays its wages. That's one thing. Regarding obedience, we don't want to be like the fool. Why? Because foolishness pays its wages. It always will. It always does. Verse 39, so when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, blessed be the Lord who has pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal and has kept his servant from evil. For the Lord has returned the wickedness of Nabal on his own head. A fool will reap. Vengeance is mine, the Lord says. I will repay. I'm going to bring the wages of someone's foolishness against them. Be not deceived. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. And look at the end of verse 39. And David sent and proposed to Abigail to take her as his wife. He didn't wait around at all. Now, this chapter said earlier when it opened up that she was beautiful to look at and beautiful of spirit. She was something. You got to wonder, you know, David's got a sword drawn. Let's go, come on. Let's go kill Nabal. And their horses are going, then this girl comes out. And you got to wonder, David, whoa. She's cute, but you know what? I got to go. She's really a beauty, but I got to go kill this guy, whoever that. And then she starts talking. And then she talks wisdom and vision and the word of God. She's speaking. You got to wonder what David's thinking. Man, she's a cutie and she's full of the Lord. And so he takes her to be his wife. Obedience brings blessing, verses 40 to 42. And when the servants of David had come to Abigail at Carmel, they spoke to her saying, David has sent us to you to ask you to become his wife. Then she arose and bowed her face to the earth and said, here is your maidservant, a servant to wash the feet of the servants of the Lord. Servants of the Lord. You guys, that's great. You know, I want to extend to you the traditional Oriental custom and courtesy that's due any messenger that comes to my house. She didn't say, is that a fact? He wants to marry me. I'm going to be married to the king. All right, boys, get my armoire, get my apparel. Let's go. You know, chop, chop. I'm going to be married to the king. You do exactly as I say. She washes their feet. Verse 42, so Abigail rose in haste and rode on a donkey and attended by five of her handmaidens, and she followed the messengers of David and became his wife. And this is a great thing about the obedience, how God blesses obedience. Now remember this, and you all know this, that God will never become indebted to any person ever. God does not allow himself to do that. He will never allow himself to be indebted to any person ever. He won't do it. But if God were to ever desire to do that, it would be to the person who's obedient. Church, for all of us, God blesses obedience. He's allowed himself to be bound to bless obedience. That's why the Bible says, do not become weary at doing well. Don't become weary at doing good. Stay at it. God will bless you. He will do it. That's something that will not go unnoticed by God. He'll do it. How to handle a fool. We conclude with this. You love them God's way. Not my way or your way, God's way. Abigail knew who he was and knew what he was. She didn't leave him. She didn't poison him. She actually interceded for him. And she left the vengeance and the judgment to God. Abigail walked in obedience to the Lord, and she was blessed. David was the man, in my opinion, who was in between. It could have gone either way for David. Nabal was a fool. Abigail was godly. Which way was David going to go? And God sent one to intervene, even in his life.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, and his message called How to Handle the Fool, Part 2. Glad you could spend some time with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called 1 Samuel. It's a series that highlights the prophet Samuel, who was called by God during one of Israel's darkest times to bring the people back to a heart of true worship. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You ever felt like something's missing in your life? Maybe you've been searching for answers, for peace, or a sense of purpose? You know, the truth is those longings are there because you were created to know God. At jackhibbs.com, there's a tab called Know God. It's designed to help you discover what it truly means to have a relationship with God. This isn't about religion. It's about understanding who God is and why he loves you and how you can find hope and forgiveness through Jesus Christ. The page breaks it down in a simple, clear way, answering common questions and guiding you through the steps of faith. It's a great place to explore and reflect whether you're just curious or you're ready to make that next step. So don't miss out on the most important relationship you'll ever have. Visit that tab called Know God at jackhibbs.com and start your journey today. That's jackhibbs.com, because knowing God changes everything in your life for the better. Take that next step. Explore and reflect at the Know God section at jackhibbs.com. Fear does not have to control your life, not when Christ is at the center of it. This month, we're featuring a powerful and deeply personal book, Living Fearless in Christ, by Hedia Miramadi. Once a devout follower of Islam and a high-level attorney in Washington, Hedia had everything except peace until she encountered the living Jesus. Choosing to follow him cost her everything, her career, her status, and her place in the world she once knew. But what she gained was far greater: freedom, identity, and a fearless faith that cannot be shaken. Her story will challenge you, encourage you, and remind you of the power of the gospel to transform lives. Living fearless in Christ is more than a testimony. It's a call to bold surrender. Available for the month of February for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com, where real stories point you to real truth and real life in Christ. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.